Please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in your Schofield Bible, page 1239, 1239. We'll be reading verses 7 through 10, and the 10th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And as we always do, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. These four verses we'll read responsibly. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And let's pray. Father, what a good day to get together as a church family. We're thankful that it's a beautiful day. But if it weren't, we'd still be so thankful to be here, to partake in the Lord's Supper, to meet together as a church family, to hear from Thee through our preacher. We're anxious to hear what You've laid upon his heart. We want to, of course, to hear Him with carefulness and prayerfulness. Help us to hear on purpose. And then we pray that You'd bless the Lyonses as they're here with us. We thank You for all that they've meant to this church in times past. I grant Thy very special blessing of grace and mercy upon us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are about to witness a miracle. I'm going to preach a sermon less than 25 minutes long. Well, let's put it this way. I promise you I'll be finished by 12:10. That's Rocky Mountain time. But I promise you that I'll be finished by 12:10. It is now 11:45, so you rest assured that when it gets about 5 after 12 and I'm on point one, if I can't find a place to land, I'll just jump out. And I promise you by 12:10. I also promise you by 12:30, as is always the case, we'll stop baptism at 12:30, let you go, finish baptizing after you're gone. Now then, I want you to sit back. I want you to be at ease. I want you to listen to me carefully, because I only have now 24 minutes left. Five times in the last 2 weeks, people have said to me, I'm helpless. I'm helpless. I've said this in recent Sundays. I've never known in the history of our church as much heartache, burden, problem, sorrow, sadness, bereavement, illness, serious illness, as I know today and have known recently. So I want to talk to you this morning. Please listen to me. I can't help you if you don't listen. Father, speak to our hearts this morning in these next very few minutes. Help me to know exactly what to leave out of this sermon. I've got 45 minutes of material here. I'll have to know what to leave out, what to put in. And I promise you I'll pay special attention to you. And I ask that our people will do the same to me. Pay special attention to me. Let me be a conduit today through which you speak to those whom we love dearly. In Jesus' name, amen. I was very casually reading my Bible, not studying for a sermon, not even reading it to study it. I was just, as you do, read the Bible through, and I was very casually reading my Bible. I came to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. I came to that little statement, when I am weak, then am I strong. I decided to pivot from casual reading to intense study, and I decided to study that verse and find out what the verse means. I fled to my Greek New Testament, and I found out what words these were, what adjectives these were. The Apostle Paul said, when I am weak. I found out that that word weak means powerless or helpless. Immediately I thought of the people who said to me recently, "Preacher, I'm helpless. I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. There's nothing, humanly speaking, that I can do." I thought about that when the Apostle Paul said, "When I am powerless," or "when I am helpless." And then I proceeded to check the word "strong." The word "strong" is the word that all of you people that know anything about Greek at all, is the word dunatos, which means dynamite. He said, "When I am helpless, then am I dynamite." This word dynamite is the most powerful of all the words in the Bible concerning power. So, hence, my title of my message this morning, "The Power of Helplessness." Oh, you say, "Hold it, preacher." No, you mean the futility of helplessness. No, I mean the power of helplessness. I'm talking about the power of powerlessness is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the amazing power of not knowing what to do. The power of being at the end of your rope, or as it were, the power of helplessness. You see, when I'm at the end of my rope, I'm the most powerful. When I see no way out, I'm the most powerful. When I have done all that I can, I'm the most powerful. When I am powerless, I am most powerful. I immediately thought of one of my favorite verses in Psalm chapter 4, or Psalm 4, Psalm, and the first verse, and I've used this again and again and again. "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." Now, I checked that word years ago. That word "distress" means hemmed in. When I was hemmed in, no way out. "Thou hast enlarged me." And I got to thinking, Brother Jim, and all of you work with me, it seems like in the times of weakness, we have our greatest victories. It seems like following the time of our weakest moments, we have the most powerful moments. God enlarges us in our own weakness. And the psalmist said, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." You see, sometimes all we can do is stand still at the bottom. Sometimes life deals us circumstances that cannot be changed. Sometimes we cannot find a way out. Hey, God has been waiting for you at the bottom. God has been waiting for you at the end of your rope, if you please, and the end of the line. Don't miss it. His power kicks in when our power kicks out. His omniscience kicks in when our intelligence kicks out. His omnipotence kicks in when our impotence kicks out. His ability kicks in when our ability kicks out. His dynamite kicks in when our firecrackers kick out. His wisdom kicks in when our wisdom kicks out. His possibilities kick in when our possibilities kick out. His divinity kicks in when our humanity kicks out. His gold kicks in when our dregs kick out. Hear me carefully. His fullness awaits our emptiness. Hear me carefully. Our importunity is His opportunity. Hear me carefully. When our power is gone, His power is available and turns on. Hear me carefully. Human failure, hear me now, human failure is the foundation for all spiritual success. I say it again. Human failure is the foundation for all spiritual success. I quoted that statement to my staff a while ago, a few of the fellows in my office, and I said to Brother Owens, if human failure is the secret to success, I said, one of these days, you are going to be a successful man. He said, yeah, and I've decided this week not to work so you're even more successful later on. Now, I'm saying human failure. You say, Brother House, what do you say? I'm saying your helplessness is God's opportunity. And the power of helplessness is as real as the power of atomic power. When I get to the end of my rope, He throws me His. When I get to the pit, He sends me a chairlift. When my inadequacy leads me to His adequacy. Helplessness, hear me carefully, helplessness is the most powerful spiritual force known to mankind. I'm simply trying to say, you can't do it. And whenever you get to the place you can't do it and throw yourself at His mercy, something big is going to happen.
He will, God will outpower you, but he will not overpower you. He cannot resurrect you until you're dead. So he waits for you at the bottom. He waits for you in the pit. He waits for you at helplessness. He waits for you in despair. He waits for you at your wit's end. He waits for you at the end of the rope. He waits for you in the slag heap of failure, in the slag heap of sorrow, in the slag heap of heartbreak, in the slag heap of frustration, in the slag heap of disappointment. He waits for you there. And I've got news for you today. When you come to the end of your rope, he's got a better rope than you have. When you come to the end of the line, then he takes over. I'm saying, helpless. You say, preacher, I don't know what to do. Well, I know somebody that does know what to do. But I can't see the future. I know somebody that knows the way through the wilderness. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for the day is mine all the way, and all their need for tomorrow. My Lord, know, and your Lord is my Lord, knows the way through the wilderness, and all you've got to do is follow.
Let me illustrate. I hadn't thought about this story in years. I was a paratrooper in World War II, as you know, or the First World War. I'm not sure, Pan-American War, whatever, South American War, Civil War. I'd like to have been here. You wouldn't have won if I'd have been here. But I was a paratrooper in World War II. I was a rigger. That means I shook every time I jumped. But, no, I was a rigger in World War II. That means I was a member of the parachute maintenance company. We packed the parachutes for the 10,000 men in the 82nd Airborne Division. We likewise had to jump, as all paratroopers did and do. But we were packing our parachutes, and one of our men in my company, parachute maintenance company, jumped. Twice men in our company jumped and landed in a lake. The first fellow I'm talking about was drowned. But the second fellow who jumped out of the airplane landed in a small lake. And the truth is, he had his harness on. He had pushed the release, but all of his harness had not come off. And there he was. He would have drowned in the lake. One of our paratroopers saw him out there and swam out to him to save his life, and did save his life. When they got back to shore, some of us saw him, and we asked him, we congratulated him and thanked him for saving the life of our buddy. But I noticed that my buddy, whom he had saved, had a black eye. I noticed his eye was almost closed. I noticed he had bruises all over his face. And I said, was this called for the landing in the lake? And the fellow who saved him said, no, it wasn't. And I said, well, what happened? He said, I could not save him until he quit fighting me. As long as he tried to save himself, he could not be saved, and I could not save him. And Jesus cannot save you as long as you try to save yourself. As long as you trust your baptism to save you, Jesus will not save you. As long as you trust your church membership to save you, Jesus cannot save you. And as long as you trust yourself and your own power in your weakness and in your burdens and your heartaches, your problems, your sorrow, your pain, your bereavement, your sadness, he can't help. And so what this fella had done, he had literally knocked this fella out to render him helpless so he could save him. And that's exactly what I'm talking about this morning. The power of helplessness. It was when Stephen was helpless, he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. It was when Paul was helpless that he saw the third heaven and heard things unlawful to utter. It was when John the Beloved fell at his feet as dead in Revelation 1:17. When he fell at his feet as dead, it was then that John the Beloved saw the revelation and the rapture and the judgment seat and the marriage of the Lamb and the second coming of Christ and the kingdom for 1,000 years and the holy city coming down from God out of heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are at your wit's end, wonderful. There's a heavenly Father who has power to give you when your power is gone. And if you will keep on going, the best days in your life are just ahead. One requirement. You've got to keep on going. If I'm coming along here in life and I come to the end of my own strength, I'm at the bottom of the rope. I'm at my wit's end. If I stop, there is his power, but I will not know it. So what do? You keep on going.
You keep on going. Brother John, you keep on going when the battle comes. Brother Jim, we kept on going when the battle comes. That's the whole secret to it. You keep on going. Now, God's power doesn't kick in because you're helpless. God's power kicks in when you're helpless, but you keep on going while you're helpless. I have a card in my pocket. I keep it right here all the time. I also have a note to get some milk on the way home from church. I have a card in my pocket. It's well worn. It has three scriptures on it that I keep near my heart every waking moment. My wife will tell you when I get up in the morning, I put on my pants and a white shirt and a tie immediately, and I eat breakfast. And this is always near my heart. Every waking moment is near my heart. I don't care what shirt I have on. Three scriptures. One is concerning my heart condition, my aortic stenosis. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. He shall strengthen thy heart. I claim that every day. Wait on the Lord. He shall strengthen thy heart. I take that literally. Another verse I have here, Deuteronomy 33:29. Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. And then Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Three scriptures, but there's one little statement here that I keep near my heart all the time when I'm awake, and that is the one that's not even a verse in the Bible. Here's what it says. Never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. Outside the Bible, that's my favorite statement. Never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. That's what my text is all about. Never get helpless, but if you do get helpless, keep on going, because God's power is about to kick in. So I'm trying to say this morning, if you have a heartbreak, keep on going. If you have a burden, keep on going. A trial, keep on going. A sorrow, keep on going. You say, I can see, in front of me. I can't see the way. You don't have to the way. He is the way. You just keep on going. Never despair. But if you do, I kept this on my office wall for years. Now I decided to transfer it to my heart. I keep these scriptures. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Every day I read it several times a day. Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Wait on the Lord. He will strengthen thy heart. And never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. And if you, at the end of your rope, and you work on, that's when God's power kicks in. And that's when the greatest blessings of your life will come. If you keep on going, when you don't know where to go, but you keep on going. I can make, very carefully, I can mark the greatest increase of God's blessings on my life by times of helplessness. I said again. I can mark the greatest increase of God's blessings on my life in times of helplessness. Well, Jim remembers that day that we got voted out of the Dallas Baptist Association. He didn't know about it. He was on the golf course playing golf. That's one reason why he's no longer with me. He was on a golf course playing golf, and I got voted out of the Southern Baptist Convention at the same time. You know what I did? You know what I did? I went to the golf course and found you and said, you ain't playing golf today, buddy. But those were dark days. But brother, those dark days, I didn't know what to do. God's waiting for somebody that doesn't know what to do so he can tell him what to do and show him what to do. Even if you feel helpless, helplessness, I was thinking, I hate to even bring this one up. It was youth conference in the late 1980s. We're going to have a big service, several thousand young people on the, have a little amphitheater type of hill out there. At the bottom of that hill is the lake, and we built a little pier on that lake, and we have the pulpit there, and several thousand people assemble up there every July in youth conference time. And I was to preach in youth conference that night in the late 1980s, I'm guessing about 88. Anyway, I was to preach, and I was in my office just about ready to get in the car and drive out there when two letters were slid under my door. I shouldn't have opened them, but I did. And you would not believe what those letters said. I have never read two more filthy letters in my life. I've never read two more accusative letters in my life. I fell on my face like a throw rug. And I said, dear God, I can't go out there now. I've got a brand new sermon I prepared. I can't preach this sermon. I've got to look at my outline some, and through the tears I'm going to shed, I can't do it. I don't have the strength. I looked up on the wall. It said, never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. Never despair. But if you do, work on in despair. Brother John, I couldn't preach that sermon because I couldn't look at the outline through tears. I got my old sermon, every one of you heard many times. Every time I get in trouble, I preach it. God's four calls to soul winning. Remember that one? God's four calls to soul winning. I preach the first and third Sunday every month. I know it by heart, so I decided to preach that because I knew it. I've never been as heartbroken in my life as I was that night. I preached that sermon out there standing on the little platform on the pier out in the lake. I couldn't believe it. 800 young people surrendered to full-time service that night. 800 young people. I was on a mission field recently. A missionary walked up to me and said, Dr. Hiles, I want to tell you, I was called to preach unto you. And I said, is that right? Where? He said, one night beside the lake in the late 1980s, on the mission field, when I'm weak, then am I strong. When I'm helpless, then am I powerful. The power of helplessness. Three times in my travels across America, I've had pastors come to me and say, preacher, you know when I was called to preach? When? Out beside the lake one night, you preached on God's four calls to soul winning, just for the kicks of it. Is there anybody here that started a full-time service that night? Would you raise your hand? Let me see if you're here. Here's one. No, he's not. Where? Oh, back here. Oh, yeah, I see you. Who is that? Pardon? And that night, yes, and then three pastors have told me the same thing. What am I trying to say? Ladies and gentlemen, when you get to the place where you say, oh God, I don't think I can make it anymore. God said, my strength is sufficient. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. And when you are weak, then are you strong. When you are helpless, then you are dunamis, dynamite, if you please. And then when that comes, you please God. Because the thing that pleases God the most is when you put your faith in Him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Faith means dependence. When you come to a place where you depend on Him and not yourself, that's what pleases God. It is dependence that pleases God. An old illustration, I've used it time and time again, but I've got to use it now. When Becky was a little girl, we're driving one day, and she said, Daddy, can I help you drive? And I said, yes, Puddin, you can help me drive. I put her on my knee. I put my hands on the steering wheel and around hers. And she had hers on the wheel and mine around hers. And we drove, and she looked over and said, Mommy, I've helped Daddy drive. She'd always giggle. I'm helping Daddy drive. Like that. Next time we got in the car, Becky said, Daddy, can I help you drive? I said, yes, Puddin, you can help me drive. I put her little body in my lap, her little hands around the steering wheel, and my big hands around hers. She said, Mommy, I'm helping Daddy drive. Every time we'd get in the car, she wanted to help Daddy drive. We're driving north on Calumet Street. One day, she said, Daddy, can I help you drive? I said, yes, you can. I put her little body in my lap, put my hands around hers, her hands on the steering wheel. We came north on Calumet. And then Becky looked around and said, Daddy, I want to finish it. I want to drive by myself. Oh, I said, no, Putin. I said, you can't drive by yourself. We're a team. I need you, and you need me. I don't need you. I won't drive by myself. I said, Putin, you can't do it. I can't. I won't drive by myself.
Well, I got tired of her nagging, just like your husband's tired of yours. So I turned around, drove out there to that, what used, now it's all built up, but it used to be just farmland, truck farmland between here and Dyer. No ditch. You drove off the road, you just drive out across the farmland. And I took my hands off the wheel, and Becky was riding that car by herself. She did a wonderful job. I couldn't believe it. She didn't cross over the center lane like Mrs. Howell does regularly. She didn't go in the ditch. She stayed in her lane. I couldn't believe it. I said, Putin, you're doing a wonderful job. Gave a little clock, came across her face, looked over to Mother and said, Mommy, I'm driving by myself. And she looked at her mother and got a little proud. The car took off out across that farm. A tree began to grow right in front of her.
Daddy, Daddy, help me, Daddy. I don't want to drive by myself. Daddy, help me, Daddy, help me. We all want to be a team. I grabbed her head, pulled mine like this,
and pulled back on the road. Little Becky put her head on my shoulder and said, Daddy, I don't want to ever drive by myself again. You know what I'm talking about? I preached by myself. I don't want to ever do it again. I pastored this church by myself. I don't want to ever do it again. And this old 74-year-old man has learned anything in life. He's learned this. When I'm at my weakest, I can be at my strongest. The same thing is true concerning salvation. You'll never get saved till you're helpless to save yourself. Helplessness is the first and biggest requirement of being a Christian. You've got to say, I can't save myself. The preacher can't save me. The church can't save me. The Pope can't save me. Baptism can't save me. The Lord's Supper can't save me. Jesus can save me. And throw yourself at His mercy, just like I did in my study that night when I threw myself on the study like a sore rug and said, God, I can't do it. And the Lord looks up and says, I can. I can. When I'm weak, then am I strong. When I am helplessness, then do I have the most power at my disposal. Would you bow your heads, please? It is 12:10. My promise is kept.